Hey everyone, welcome back to the CTYA podcast. We are so glad that you joined us here today. Sit back, relax, get out your favorite pencil, your favorite notebook. May you be blessed in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, it feels good in here. The presence of the Lord is here. And I know we say that a lot, but it's true, and I feel him, and it feels good in here. Thank you, Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm going to direct your attention tonight to Luke chapter 4. While you turn there, I just want to take a moment to thank Brother and Sister Hussey for their leadership. You haven't been in charge very long, but in the short time that you have been our leaders, It's obvious your passion and your love for this group, and we thank you for that. All right, so Luke chapter 4, this is a familiar story to all of us, especially if you grew up going to Sunday school. It's one that's made it into the regular rotation of Sunday school curriculum, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And so I'm just going to read for you the first four verses right now, just to kind of set us in the story. So starting at verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." I love pattern. I'm a very type A person. Love a good pattern, love a good theme. And there's this reoccurring theme in the Bible of people journeying through the wilderness. You know, the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. John the Baptist spent time in the wilderness before his ministry started. And here we have Jesus wandering in the desert for 40 days, being tempted of the devil. And this desert motif, it serves a very specific purpose. And usually it's this time of an intense period of testing and preparation. In all three cases of the Israelites and John the Baptist and Jesus, this period of testing, this period of preparation came right before they started their ministry, or in the Israelites' case, received their promise. And so I think the comparison to our own lives as young adults is pretty clear there. There's going to be a period, there's going to be a time when the Spirit is going to lead us into our own wilderness experience. A hard time of testing, testing our faith, testing our obedience, preparing us for what the Lord has for us, because the Lord does have something for all of us. Whether you are a Bible college student or whether you've gone straight into your career, God has a call and a plan for your life, but you have to be prepared for it. The illustration that Brother McGrath used was so perfect. We all have the will to be used by God. I think we all want to be used by God, and that's not where we lack. Sometimes where we lack is that preparation. And so sometimes God will lead us into these hard times in order to prepare us for what he has for us. And that's not to say that, you know, tests and trials disappear after you've gone through this like wilderness experience. Tests and trials are just kind of a part of life. But this wilderness experience that I'm going to be referring to tonight, it's not just a trial or a hard time. It is a defining moment in your life, one that you can kind of look back on and say, that's where it all changed. That's where it all started. And I'm going to apologize for using a personal example, but I want to be clear with the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. So, and what better example to use than what I know best, and that's my own life. When I was a senior in college, I was really a really, really hard time in my life. and not just academically. There was a lot of things going on, but I was where God wanted me to be, and I wholeheartedly believed that. I believed that I was in the will of God, and so I was confused. I'm like, God, if I'm in your will, why do I not want to get out of bed every morning? Why am I struggling? Why is this so hard? Like, being in God's will is supposed to be rainbows and butterflies and joy and peace, right? But it wasn't. And so I was praying, God, you put me here. You have to get me through this. And it came to this point, this peak, where I was faced with a decision. And it was like a fork in the road. My life was either going to go this way or it was going to go this way. One was my plan for my life, and the other one was a leap of faith. And that decision is why I am in Indianapolis today. I had to surrender what I thought I wanted my life to be and take that leap of faith and say, all right, God, whatever you want. And that's why I'm here today. And now with hindsight, I can look back and say, oh, I see why that was so hard. I see why I had to go through that. Because it prepared me for a time where I wasn't really going to know what I was getting myself into. And so in this room, there are three types of people. There are those who have no idea what I'm talking about. You can't relate. You haven't been through a kind of like wilderness experience yet in your life. The second type of person is someone who's kind of in the thick of it right now. And maybe you don't realize it yet because you don't have the hindsight to look back and see how it's preparing you for your future. And then there's the people who get it. You know, you've been through it. And so you relate. And my goal tonight is, no matter which of those three people you are, I want to encourage you through this story of Jesus in the wilderness and hope that I can give you something to take home with you and encourage you. So if you are one of those first two types of people, you either haven't been through this type of wilderness experience yet, or you are in the thick of it and you are faced with this trial or this temptation, we have to learn from Jesus' example of how to successfully navigate through this. And Jesus, when he was faced with temptation in his wilderness, he used the same strategy over and over and over again, and that was scripture. And so it's a simple point. It's a principle that we know, but we have to know the scripture. We have to internalize it. It's not a maybe. It's not an option. It's not a might could. It's a must. Because in this portion of scripture, in this story, the devil quotes scripture. He quotes Psalm 91 when he's trying to get Jesus to jump from the building because he says, oh, the angels won't let you get hurt. So Satan knows the word of God, and heaven forbid he knows more than I do. Because if he knows more than I do, if he knows the scripture better than me, he can manipulate it and use it against me. So I have to know the word. I have to learn the word, not just read it, but memorize it and internalize it. And I have to align myself with it. Because the more I align myself with God's word, the better, the more empowered I am to resist temptation, and the more empowered I am to get through whatever trial I am in and be victorious in that. And the other thing we can take away from Jesus' story in the wilderness is that we have to rely on the Spirit. If I've learned anything in my short 25 years of life, it's that I know nothing and I am nothing. And I don't say that in like mock humility. I'm nothing. Everything good that I have is because God has given it to me. And if I don't acknowledge that, heaven forbid my head gets too big and I think I can do this on my own. I have to rely on Jesus. I have to lean not on my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways, because then he can direct my paths. So if you haven't yet faced this kind of trial, don't worry, you'll get there someday. Or if you're in the middle of it, how do you come out victorious? You learn the scripture and you rely on God. Now, there's a third type of person in this room that I talked about earlier, and now it's time to talk to you. And if you are not this type of person, I hope that it can still encourage you and remember it, because you will be this person someday. If you have been in a trial, in a time of intense testing and preparation where you've been faced with temptations, when you've been faced with making difficult decisions and choices that will dictate how your life goes, then you fall into one of two subcategories. And the first is you did it, you made it, you made the right choice, you're in the will of God, you're walking in the paths that He has directed you to be in. Awesome, great, get ready for the next test. Because, you know, I believe that there's not just one time that we go through this in our lives. It comes over and over again depending on how the Lord decides to use us. But the other subcategory is you were faced with this temptation, you were faced with a trial, you were faced with a decision, and you tripped up. You fell. You made a mistake. You made a bad decision. And that's who I want to focus on tonight. And we see both of these types of people, the ones who make it and the ones who don't make it. And sometimes we see that in the same person. Like in the Bible, Moses, he was placed in Pharaoh's house. And I sometimes wonder how his story would have been different if he didn't have to flee. I wonder how the whole let my people go thing would have gone if Moses would have been able to stay and like build that relationship with his grandfather. Would have that have been more peaceful? But we don't know. What we know is Moses killed someone, and so he had to run away. The Israelites, they faced trials and battles and wandered through the wilderness to get to the promised land the first time, and then they were turned away because they couldn't fix their attitude and they made a bad decision. David was king of Israel. He committed adultery and had Bathsheba's husband killed. Peter and Judas left everything that they had to follow Jesus. They made the right choice. But then Peter denied Jesus three times and Judas betrayed him. We are human. We fall short. We mess up, we make mistakes, we deal with sin, whether our own sin or the sins of others that have an effect on us. And what happens when we fall short? What happens when we are affected by this sin? Well, it gives the devil an opportunity, because when we fall short, we're vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable, the devil goes after our mind. And he does that through guilt. So even if we've repented of our sin, even if we've turned away from bad decisions that we've made, we still battle with guilt. And if left undealt with, guilt turns into feelings of I'm hopeless, I'm worthless, I'm unlovable, I've done too much, I've gone too far, I can never be used, I will never be worth anything. And these are the lies that the devil wants you to believe about yourself. These are the thoughts that he wants to trap you in. He wants you to internalize these lies and live them as if they are the truth. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Something really cool that I learned about this verse recently is that the word, the Hebrew word that is used for heart in that verse, if used figuratively, it could mean the intellect, the center, the mindset, or the mind. So essentially, I can take out the word heart from that verse and insert the word mind. And if I do that, it reads, "The mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Our minds are powerful. Our minds can literally convince us that lies are truth and make us live in an alternate reality, really. It's scientific. You can Google it. I did a lot of times. This is something I'm like currently obsessed with. Our brains, just a little science lesson for you. Our brains are made up of cells called neurons. The purpose of a neuron is to deliver information from one part of the brain to another. So our brain gets some information, the neuron takes it to the part of the brain where it's supposed to be. And so when you are exposed, your brain is exposed to repeated information, that neuron is taking the same pathway. It's going the same route. So when your brain is exposed to repeated information, say through habits or through repeated thought patterns or through repeated behaviors, this pathway that your neuron is taking solidifies and it creates what's called a neural pathway. And essentially, a neural pathway is responsible for processing information, creating memories, experiencing emotion, and it's even partly responsible for how we interact with others. So essentially, neural pathways create a filter for your brain through which you process all information. And so what happens is, if we fall short, we feel guilty, we're vulnerable, the devil can slip in and get you to think the thoughts, I'm hopeless, I'm worthless, I'm unlovable. And then things in our life, because we live in an imperfect and fallen world, things like society and media, voices that we shouldn't have in our life but are there, things that we've gone through in the past, they reinforce those ideas and they make us dwell on them even more. And so then our brain is literally creating those filters of I'm hopeless, I'm worthless, I'm unlovable. Next thing you know, all new information, all of your emotions, your interactions with people, the memories you are creating are put through that filter of thought. And it can literally affect your day to day. And you might not even realize it. And when you have these filters on your mind, then you're more susceptible to things like anxiety and depression. Of course, those aren't the only causes of those things, but it's a symptom, it's a result. And so if the devil can get you there, if the devil can get you to the point where you are convinced you are worthless, you are unlovable, you are hopeless, you are suffering from anxiety, you are suffering from depression, if he can get you there, he's got you. And you're trapped. Because when you're in that, it's hard to see a way out because all new information coming through your mind is going through that filter. Even when I'm in church and I'm hearing scripture being preached at me, I know it's true, but my mind doesn't believe it because it's being put through that filter of you're unlovable, you're worthless, you're hopeless. That word might be true for someone else, but it's not true for you. You've gone too far. You've done too much. God gave you a chance and you ruined it. So we have to lean on the scripture. And that has to be the foundation of our life, our thought life, because then our neural pathways are based in scripture. And when the devil comes at me with the lies of I'm worthless, I'm hopeless, I can say, no, I'm not, because that's not what the word of God says. All my new information, all my behavior, all my memory is being filtered through the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're there, if you are the person I'm talking to tonight, you think you're hopeless. You think you're worthless. You've been dealing with anxiety and depression and you don't know where it's coming from. You don't have to live like that. There is freedom in Christ. He has called you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've noticed this pattern over the past few months. Starting back in like November, Brother Galleon preached to us at a young adult service about forgiveness. And then over the past few months, it's come up a few different times. Pastor Carson has preached about it a couple times. Brother Root touched on it last week. And what I've noticed is a lot of the mental and emotional battles that we face, sometimes it can be rooted back to unforgiveness. And not just unforgiveness towards others, but more so unforgiveness towards yourself. I talked about Moses, I talked about David, I talked about Peter. And the good thing is, all those stories turned out okay. Moses, yes, he killed a man and that's not okay, but God was still able to use him. And because of his willingness to be used, the history of Israel was completely changed, right? They got to escape. David, he killed a guy again, but he turned back to God, and he was still called a man after God's own heart. Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times and still got to preach on the day of Pentecost. So just because you make a bad decision, you tripped, okay, you fell short, okay, you were naive, okay, someone did something bad that directly affected you, okay, you can still be used. Because the thing is, with all those examples, there was one that never turned around, and that was Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus, and the devil got to him. Sorry. The story of Judas is one of the saddest in the Bible to me, because we never get to see what could have happened to him. We never get to see who he could have been, what he could have done, the ministry that he could have been involved in, the miracles and the revival that he could have been a part of. He gave up too soon. He couldn't forgive himself. He got trapped in unforgiveness and guilt and shame and the lies of the enemy. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Christ died that you may receive forgiveness for your sins. And if you have truly repented, he has already forgiven you. And so it's time to forgive yourself. 1 John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And guess what? The Greek word for heart in this verse is the same as the Hebrew word I referenced earlier. You can replace it with the word mind, and it'll mean the same thing. For if our mind condemn us, God is greater than our mind and knoweth all things. John 8:31-32 said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So here's the truth. You are not hopeless. You have been given the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You are not worthless. You were bought with a price. You are not unlovable. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities or powers, things present, things to come, height or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. David, he is notorious for his big mess up. But in Psalm 32, he writes a beautiful psalm about forgiveness that I just want to read a few verses of for you. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And verse 8 is God's response. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So if you have been faced with this wilderness experience, and you didn't make it, you made the wrong decision, you fell short, whatever happened, it happened, it's in the past, you have the opportunity to today say, today I choose to follow after God. Today I choose to confess. Today I choose to acknowledge that I'm not perfect, that I need God, that I messed up. And today I choose to let God continue to direct my path. I want to read one more scripture to you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We started by talking about Moses a little bit in the beginning, and I want to end talking about his wilderness experience. In verse 2 of chapter 8, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Why? "To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." And so tonight, in closing, the Lord is going to lead you through difficult times. And at times it might seem easier to just give up and to walk away and to say, forget it, I'm done. But if you will cling to God, if you will cling to the truth about you that is found in this scripture, the truth about the promises that God has for your life, he's going to lead you through to teach you what you need to know to be prepared for the rest of your life. I've learned so much in the past 2.5 years about God's faithfulness, about God's provision. Never in the rest of my life will I ever doubt that God can provide for me, because over and over and again, he has. Never in the rest of my life will I doubt that God will walk with me, because over and over again, he has proved that even in my darkest times, he was right there. So it may be hard. You may be questioning, why is this happening? I thought I was in your will. Why is my life so difficult? But he's with you, and he's teaching you, and he's shaping you, and he's molding you so that you can draw closer to him. And if you are struggling with those feelings of hopelessness and worthlessness and insecurity, I want you tonight to release it to God. Yes. Forgive yourself. Yes. Thank God for his forgiveness and the redemption that comes through his death and resurrection. And accept that for yourself. It's so easy to tell other people, the Lord forgives you. It's a lot harder to apply that same principle to ourselves. Live in his forgiveness. Walk in his forgiveness. Walk in the hope and the truth of his word. I encourage you to just close your eyes for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and the truth of your word. Thank you that we can rely on you even in the times when we question, even the times when we're hurting, even in the times when it seems like you are nowhere near us. In the times when it seems like our prayers fall on deaf ears, you are there. And you are faithful. Thank you that we can trust you to direct our paths. Thank you, Lord, that we can live in your forgiveness. Thank you that you made the ultimate sacrifice, that we don't have to be slaves to sin and death anymore. Thank you, Jesus, that we can live in the spirit of life. Lord, walk with us. Encourage us. Use your word to empower us. Give us a greater hunger. Give us a greater thirst for the things of you. Let us not go one day without feeling the need to be near you. Help us not to rely on ourselves, but to rely wholly on you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you.